You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Well, let's pray and get ready for this. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you and praise you again this night for your goodness, your mercy, your love. Father, we praise you for your presence in our lives. We thank you for this book, the book of Revelation, a book that you want us to understand, that you wrote, had written for our benefit. And so, by the Spirit of God, we ask that you teach us, lead us, guide us, direct us, burn it in our hearts and in our minds, that we'd be more knowledgeable about it, about you, about ourselves, about the world that we live in. So we thank you and we praise you for it in Jesus' matchless name. Everyone said?
Amen.
Amen. Well, chronologically, after the seals, the seven-seal book is the seven trumpets. But there's a little bit of interlude in there where the angel comes down and seals the foreheads of the 144,000. Now, what that tells us is that the 144,000 obviously are going to be here for a little while, but they're protected from the seven trumpets that are going to be sounded. Because the first four angels couldn't hurt the sea, they couldn't hurt the land, they couldn't hurt any green thing until the seal of God was given to the 144,000 Jews, specific Jews. Everybody say Jews?
Jews.
Okay. And they were evangelists. They were holy. They were. It gives us some more specifics about them in the 14th chapter. And actually, they're raptured in between those, the 7th and the 14th chapter, which we'll talk about that a little later on. I don't want to give away too much. You know, I'd have to shoot you if I told you everything I know. No. No. We want to lay a foundation, and we'll get to some of these points later on, so stay with us. But anyway, in the 8th chapter, after the 7th seal is opened, there's a great earthquake. But there are several earthquakes throughout the book of Revelation. It says in the 6th verse, so the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. And we have a chart on the seven trumpets. And there's a list on the chart of what each, basically in a nutshell, of what each trumpet does. The first trumpet we see here says hell and fire and blood were cast upon the earth, and a third of the trees were burned up and all the grass. And so this is a terrible time to be living upon the earth. This is judgment from God. These are not things that man does. I've often heard people try to interpret it as this is us destroying our ecological system, you know, or polluting the rivers and so on and so forth. No, this is the wrath of God coming out of heaven. Now you need to get that point in your thinking, because there's all kinds of speculation about these trumpets and sometimes the vials about what this is and that is. And if you're trying to make it a human thing, you're going to mess up. This is a supernatural thing. God doesn't need nuclear weapons to carry out his will. He doesn't need jets and all those kinds of things. Hello. Now, obviously, he uses man. There's no question. But these particular plagues, the seals, the trumpets, the vials, come out of heaven. Are you with me? Now, he does spur some armies, it talks about later on, but we'll talk about that as we go on here. So it says here, at this first trumpet that sounds, the first angel sounded, and hell and blood and fire followed, mingled with blood, and they were thrown down to the earth, and a third of the trees were burned up, and all the green grass was burned up. Then the second angel sounded, and something like a great mountain burning with fire, like a comet or a meteor, was thrown into the sea. Most likely this is the Mediterranean Sea, because that's the general area of where all this is taking place. I mean, when you talk about the Antichrist, you talk about Israel and the specifics of the Antichrist's kingdom, the empire that he rules over. We're talking about the Mediterranean Sea area. So it doesn't say what sea, but most likely if you look at a map, it's going to be that sea. You know, actually, the whole world itself is not necessarily affected by this. God's dealing with the Jewish nation and the kingdom of the Antichrist. Not everyone on the earth that does not accept Jesus, stay with me on this, we'll see this later on, but not everyone on the earth that does not accept Jesus takes the mark. There are nations that we rule and reign over in a thousand-year reign, and everyone that takes the mark, the Bible says, is destroyed. And the Antichrist, the Bible tells us, he has 10 kings that give their allegiance to him, not everybody, just 10 kings. And these are things you'll see clearly as we go further on, and we'll explain that to you. But there are literally nations that are still alive after the Battle of Armageddon that we rule and reign over for 1,000 years. Who are those nations? Where did they come from? How come they weren't wiped out? They didn't take the mark. They weren't involved in the process. Now, the earth is going to be affected. Everyone, the economy of the earth obviously is affected by all this that's going on. And we'll get down to some specifics as we go on here. So it says the sea. There's a lot of oceans out there. It didn't mention those. It just says the sea. Second angel sounded, something like a great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea, and a third of the sea became blood. And a third of the living creatures in the sea died, and a third of the ships were destroyed. Then the third angel sounds, and a great star from heaven burning like a torch fell on a third of the rivers and the springs of water. So you have salt water, the sea. Then you have drinking water, the rivers, and the fountains of the earth. They're going to be affected here by this star that falls from the heaven called wormwood, which really that just means bitter, or it's a bitter herb, you know, the name, what wormwood means. So it makes everything bitter, all the waters and the rivers bitter. 12th verse, then the fourth angel sounded, and a third of the sun was struck, and a third of the moon, and a third of the stars. Now obviously, he didn't cut off a third of the sun, cut off a third of the moon, but he darkened it. Probably with the smoke that comes up from all these other plagues. And it's for a third of the time, third of the day. A fourth angel sounded, and a third of the sun was struck, and a third of the moon, and a third of the stars. So a third of them was darkened, and a third of the day it did not shine, and likewise the night. Now, you know, if you took off a third of the sun, we'd be in trouble. The whole earth would be in trouble. And third of the moon, I mean, you're talking about cataclysmic events that would actually destroy the earth. So what he's saying is there's an effect of darkening that takes place, maybe from the smoke, maybe a supernatural darkening of the sun and the moon. And that's going to be part of this trumpet that sound. I mean, there's all kinds of activity going on in the heavens, in the atmosphere, on the earth, fire and brimstone, bitter waters, the smell of the fish in the sea that they're going to be dying, and you know, it's just a terrible, terrible time to be on earth. Thank God we're in heaven.
Amen.
Thank God we're not appointed to wrath and we're off the earth at that time. 13th verse, I looked and I heard an angel flying through the midst of the heaven saying with a loud voice, not ho, ho, ho like Santa Claus, but whoa, whoa, whoa. This is not ho, ho, ho time. This is whoa, whoa, whoa time. Three times, whoa, 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 to the inhabitants of the earth because of the remaining blast of the trumpet of the three angels who are about to sound. So there's warnings in the heavens, you know, coming, these angelic activity going on. And this angel's flying in the heavens saying, whoa, 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 because we've gone through four trumpets. And he lists, whoa, 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 three more trumpets of plagues that are going to come upon the earth. Now the ninth chapter. This is where he gets into some supernatural beings or entities or demonic powers that come upon the earth. Some people said these are armies or they're jet planes or something along those lines, but I don't think they fit the bill. I believe they're supernatural, and you'll see that as we continue on here. The fifth angel sounds. Now, I notice on the chart here, let's see, that a great mountain burning with fire is cast into the sea. That's a typo. I just want y'all to know that. So, Sean, to the Sean, to the sea. But the fifth angel is what we're picking up here. A star or an angel fell from heaven with the key to the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke. Everybody say bottomless pit.
Bottomless pit.
I took my hand off the button. I want to point it back that way. The bottomless pit, these are demonic forces. These are not people, nations. These are not armies in the natural. Because it says here, he was given the key to the bottomless pit. That's the abyss. The abysson, abyss in Greek. And he opened the bottomless pit, and smoke arose out of the pit like the smoke of a great furnace. So the sun and the air were darkened because of the smoke of the pit. Then out of the smoke, locusts came upon the earth. But these aren't normal locusts that we're talking about here. And to them was given power as scorpions of the earth have power. These are demonic locusts. These are not jet planes. Often, you know, we hear people say, well, it's a jet plane or it's this or that. But it's kind of strange if that's the case because it says here they couldn't kill anybody. You know, I don't know much about the market on armament and weaponry, but I don't know any terrorists that are wanting to get a hold of a weapon. I want that weapon. It can't kill anybody. You know, what nation is going to spend billions on a system that's not, can't kill anybody? Hello. It says here that they came out of the smoke came locusts upon the earth, and to them was given powers. The scorpions of the earth have power, and they were commanded not to harm the grass of the earth or any green thing or any tree, but only those men who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads. They had specific instructions. And they were not given authority to kill them, but to torment them for 5 months. Now see this. This is supernatural. This is not natural. It's supernatural. We know where they come from. They come from the bottomless pit. This is demonic activity. There's a lot of demonic activity coming upon the earth. Which really, if you look at it this way too, that's another indicator the church is not here. Because all you would have to do as a Christian, as a believer, if one of those demon locusts came in your house, you wouldn't grab a can of Raid. You'd just say, in the name of Jesus, get out of here. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil. He'll flee from you. James 4:7. The church can pray and get free from demon powers. Hello. So that's an indication the church must not be here. The only one protected from these are the 144,000 Jews, not church, not Gentiles, not Israel as a whole, but specific 144,000 Jews who have this specific seal somehow on their forehead. And it says here, they were given authority, not given authority to kill men, but to torment them for 5 months. And their torment was like the torment of a scorpion when it strikes a man. Anyone ever been stung by a scorpion?
Yeah.
My goodness. I mean, it really, you'll find out whether you're saved or not when you get, you know, you get struck by a scorpion. But this torment is like that, and it's just over and over, and it's for 5 months. I mean, it's terrible, terrible plague that's coming upon earth. Not us, but on the church, not on the church, but on the world. And it says here, in those days, men will seek death and will not find it. They can't even kill themselves. So you know this is a supernatural thing. Because people kill themselves all the time. But here, they can't even find death. They can't even, you know, it's like they try and they can't do it. They're stopped from doing it. They'll be tormented for 5 months. Seek death and will not find it. They will desire to die and death will flee from them. Terrible time to be living here. Then he says the shape of the locust is, and this is where we get jet planes and fighter pilots and so on. The shape of the locust was like horses prepared for battle. On their heads were crowns of something like gold. Their faces were like faces of men. They had hair like women's hair. And, you know, some people say, well, that's just long-haired jet pilots. Their teeth were like lion's teeth. They hadn't seen a dentist in a while, you know, there. They had breastplates like breastplates of iron. The sound of their wings were like the sound of chariots. Helicopters. Here we got it. Got jets, helicopters. With many horses running into battle. They had tails like scorpions. That would be the rotor on the back, I guess. That's the rotor on the back of the helicopter. That's what that is. Their stings were in their tails. That's got to be something coming out. That's got to be a jet thing in the back, doesn't it? Some kind of, you know. Listen, there are books written along these lines. And God bless them. They do their best and, you know, bless their hearts and their dumb heads. But anyway, let me stay in faith here. You know what it is? It's what God says it is. It's exactly what God says it is. And did you know something else? It doesn't even really say that the people see these things. John sees it because he sees into the Spirit. We're not for sure that the people see it because it doesn't indicate that they're running from these things. But if you were to see in the Spirit, you'd see the result or the source of this pain that they're experiencing. I'm just throwing it out. Possible. I mean, bear in mind, it doesn't say they saw them. It says John saw them. They come out of the bottomless pit. Did you know in this room there are angels right now? You don't see them, but they're here. And listen, you know, demons are out there in the earth. They're not all in the insane asylum. I started to say, well, you got a mother-in-law, don't you? But no, come on now. I'm just kidding. That's, your mother-in-law say you got a son-in-law, don't you? You know, that thing goes both ways. But there's demons out. You don't see them, but there's demonic activity going on the earth today. And there's angelic activity going on the earth today. I mean, come on, there's another world out here that you're not aware of as in the natural that you can't see and you can't necessarily contact, but it's there. I mean, it's there. So here it's possible, and this is what I think, stay with me, this is like a, you know, an opinion. They're like elbows, everybody's got a couple up. But I think that they more likely are just the demonic powers that come out of the pit. The world itself does not see these things themselves, but they get the result of it. They feel the pain from it. They seek to die and can't die. And it goes on for 5 months. Man, I would think with this much demonic activity, if you could see all this, there'd be a lot of repenting going on. I mean, you know, there's something supernatural going on. They don't look at it that way. They look at it as some kind of plague. I think that a lot of plagues that come upon our earth even today, a lot of diseases, if you could see in the spirit, it has some demonic source. I mean, but we don't see that. We see the virus. We deal with it on a natural plane with medicines and surgeries, and thank God for all that. But there's something going on in the spirit that we're not really seeing. When you're tempted, there's something going on in the spirit. Are you with me? Lust and all those sins and so on. There's something going on in the spirit you're not seeing. If you could see in the spirit, you would actually see demonic activity. You'd also see good angels out there. I'm not trying to be spooky or mystical here. That's just what the Bible teaches. Amen. One day you will be able to see in the spirit like John was seeing the whole time he was up in heaven. He was seeing everything going on and the source of everything. Good, bad, and indifferent. He saw it all. He saw good angels, bad angels. He saw the angels in heaven. He saw demonic powers on the earth. I mean, he was seeing in the spirit. But it doesn't necessarily mean that everybody on earth was seeing in the spirit. They were getting the result of it. Possibly they saw it, but I just don't think they did. But if you believe that, like I said before, you can still go to heaven. If you don't believe, just exactly like I said here. So it says here they had hair like women's hair and teeth like lions' teeth, knife first. They had breastplates like breastplates of iron. The sound of their wings was like the sound of chariots with many horses coming into battle. They had tails like scorpions, and there were stings in their tails. And their power was to hurt men 5 months. And they had as a king over them the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in Hebrew is Abaddon, and in Greek his name was Apollyon. So it was like a demonic army with a head over it, and that was the first woe, or the fifth trumpet that sounded. 12th verse, one woe is past, behold, still two more woes are coming after these things. I mean, this is a tough time. Are you with me? Tough time to be around here. In the sixth trumpet, it says, 13th verse, then the sixth trumpet sounded, sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which were before God, saying to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates. You know, this is a prominent river in biblical history. It actually goes down through present-day Iraq. It was used to be ancient Babylon. You know, there's so much history in Iraq. In fact, Ur of the Chaldees, you know, was in ancient Babylon. The Tower of Babel was in the plain of Shinar in ancient Babylon. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you know, and they were taken into Babylon. Daniel was taken into Babylon. The Babylonians fought with the Persians. Persia today is present-day Iran. You remember that 8-year war or 7-8-year war that went on between Iraq and Iran where Saddam Hussein was still in power over there? Remember that? Back in 1980, you know, the Tehran had our hostages over there where Ayatollah Khomeini took over Iran and disposed the Shah at that time. And, of course, it became a religious state, a Muslim state for sure at that point. Well, all that was going on, people often wondered, why were they fighting? Why was Iran fighting with Iraq? Well, Iraq, they're Arabic. They're Arabs. And Iran, they're Persians. They speak Farsi. And Iraqi, they speak Arabic. They're Arabs. And so there's a lot of animosity. And also, Iran, there's mostly Shiites. And then, of course, Iraq has a lot of Sunni Muslims, two different sects of Muslim faith. But they hated each other. Saddam Hussein thought he was the resurrection of Nebuchadnezzar. Oh, he had lots of problems, yeah. He got some problems right now, too, I can tell you that. But anyway, there's a lot of history in there when you think about that. You know, we often think about Muslims, and we hear a lot about Muslims today. You know, the largest population of Muslims is not Arabic. We often equate Muslim to the Arab world, but the largest Muslim nation is Indonesia. They have 220 Muslims. Pakistan is all Muslim. India has 100 million Muslims. 220 million? Did I say what I say? 220. There is 220 of them. There's at least there's a lot of them. There's 220 million Muslims in Indonesia. There's 100 million Muslims in India. Now, so far, there's not an Arab country that has that many people. In fact, there are probably over 800 to 900 million Muslims in the world are non-Arab. There's only 1.3 Muslims in the world, according to the July statistics on the CIA fact sheet concerning that matter. But, you know, there's a lot about that we don't understand. Well, tell somebody that. That'll get them saved. Next time you go witness and share that with them. I mean, this is vital truth here I'm talking about here. But anyway, what we see in here, there's a lot of geopolitical things going on in Revelation. Are you with me? Euphrates, boy, that's going to be significant when that dries up. When they dry that up, my goodness, then the armies are going to start coming across, see? They've already done it once. I mean, they have that, Antartic Dam over there that they actually dried up the Euphrates River. It's been done already. They did it probably 20 years ago. They dried it up just as a test when they built that dam. And it's the possibilities there already right now. But this is supernatural. It says here, 13th verse, six angels sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar which are before God, saying to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates. So the four angels who had been prepared for an hour, a day, a month, a year, were released to kill a third of mankind. Now this is going to be bad. This is not just a tormenting, this is a killing of people. And the number of the army of the horsemen was 200 million, and I heard the number of them. Thus I saw the horses in the vision. Those who sat on them had breastplates of fiery red, hyacinth, blue, sulfur, yellow. The heads of the horses were like heads of lions. Out of their mouth came fire, smoke, and brimstone. Their power was in their mouth and in their tails. For their tails are like serpents having heads, and with them they do harm. But the rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues, everybody say plague.
Plague.
See, these are plagues. This is supernatural. I believe armies are going to be involved, no question, later on. But this is supernatural. It tells us, you know, these angels are released. All this is going on supernaturally. There's death. And it says, 20th verse, the rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues did not repent of the work of their hands. Just flat rebellious. You know, you'd think, man, when this is going on, people would just be repenting. Then there are a lot of people get saved. We know that because the Scripture tells us. But these nations, some godless, some of them atheistic, some of them worshiping other gods, a lot of these will be Muslim nations. They won't accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. They won't repent. You know, actually, the Muslim world, especially the radical ones, have world conquest on their mind. They believe they're going to take over the whole world eventually. In essence, these radical Muslim terrorists, all these terrorist groups are Muslim groups. Come on, this is not profiling we're talking about. I mean, Hamas and Hezbollah and Al-Qaeda, and all these are Muslim groups. Come on. Now, I realize there are some good Muslims, just like there's good any kind of religion out there. But there's some radical, fanatical sects that we need to be aware of. Iran is a radical, radical nation, very dangerous nation, because they're really a theocracy. They're really run by the Ayatollah. They have a figurehead there that you've heard of that's calling for the destruction of Israel and also is saying the Holocaust didn't happen. But, you know, he's not the real power. The Ayatollah is the power. The religious figurehead behind him who is funding Hezbollah, who's bombing Israel. You know all those Katusha rockets that they're bombing Israel with, you know, the Hezbollah? You know what a Katusha rocket is? It comes from Russia, Katusha. That's not a Jewish name. That's not an Arab name. Actually, Russia is funding Iran and Syria, and Iran and Syria are funding Hezbollah. And Hezbollah is just the puppet of eventually all the way back up to Russia, who eventually is going to come in and invade Israel. We know that. They're just testing Israel's resolve right now. That's what they're doing. Because one day, we know scripturally, Russia is going to come down. And so they've got this puppet, this Hezbollah terrorist organization, that they're actually funding and supplying with all this weaponry, just testing the resolve of Israel, testing the strength of Israel, because they're eventually going to come down and take it over, try to anyway. God's going to wipe them out. They're going to lose without hand. So, anyway, it says here about this sixth plague. the rest of the mankind that was not killed by these plagues did not repent of the works of their hands. You know, I just love that when we talk about plagues, plagues, plagues. You know, in the last chapter of Revelation, 22nd chapter, he says, do not add or take away from anything in this book. I don't believe he's talking about interpreting, because we sometimes interpret it differently. But when you come in there and say, oh, that's not going to happen, or something else is going to happen besides that, now you're adding or you're taking away. Now, we're going to have a lot of difference on interpretation. I've heard people say, well, if you interpret it wrong, he's going to add these plagues to you. No, he said don't add to it or take away from it. You might understand it a little differently or see it a little differently, but when you just flat out say, that's not true, that's not going to happen, now you're taking away. Mm-hmm. Or you're saying, well, what really is going to happen is this, not that. Then you're adding to. But the point I want to make here, he says, don't add or take away, because if you do, God will add these plagues to you. Meaning that it's not God's will that these plagues come on you. And if you're serving God and love God and you're a Christian, you're a believer, and believe the Bible, none of this is going to happen to you. No, you didn't get it, because if you did, you'd shout a little louder. But that's another indication, again, that we're not supposed to go through this. These are plagues. And God tells us if we believe this and we receive this, then these plagues aren't for us. You'd have to add to or take away. Just say this is a lie or I got another gospel before these plagues will be added to you. But if you believe the Bible and you accept Revelation as being true, then these plagues aren't for you. Because blessed is he who hears, and blessed is he who reads, and blessed are those who keep the words of this prophecy, for the time is at hand. Oh, hallelujah. I mean, that's just another good indicator. So, you know, center in on some of these words, plagues, wrath of God. Well, I'm not appointed to wrath. That's not me. Plagues. Well, I'm redeemed from that. Plagues. Hallelujah. So as bad as it looks, well, God's forewarning us. You say, well, this is terrible. Well, hey, hell's terrible. And there's some insight into hell. Jesus talks about it. But he's warning us not to go there. And he's given us a way out. And here, this shouldn't bring fear on you or I as a Christian. We ought to look at this with courage and with faith and with confidence, knowing, hallelujah, God has made a way out. I don't have to go through that.
Amen.
Amen. I've been forewarned. I'm going to be taken up, praise God. So it says here that they didn't repent, even those that weren't killed by the plagues. And that they should not worship demons. I mean, there was demon worship going on. And idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and wood, which can neither see nor hear nor walk. And they did not repent of their murders or their sorceries or their sexual immorality or their thefts. Boy, if that's not an indictment on our earth today, the world that we live in. You know, I believe the church is going to go out with a shout. I believe Jesus is coming back for a bride without spot, without blemish. I believe the greatest days for the church are right before we're taken up. I believe the greatest revival is going on right now. There are people getting saved by the hundreds of thousands down in South America and Central America, all over the world. And so I don't think we're going to go out weak. I think we're going to go out strong. Are you with me? We're going to go out with a shout. Hallelujah. But on the other side, there's going to be more wickedness, more ungodliness, more unrighteousness. Because when sin abounds, his grace much more abounds. So you're going to see a rise of the church, and then you're going to see a rise of ungodliness on the other side of the fence. What happens is the middle ground's going to disappear. The fence is going to disappear. Not going to be a lot of riding the fence. Not going to be a lot of gray area. You're either for God or against him in these last days. Are you with me? But when we are taken out, it is going to be wicked on the earth. Oh, my, my. When we're taken out, I mean, it's going to be evil. That's when the Antichrist is going to rise. And that's why the wrath of God is going to come out. Because there's going to be no staying power on the earth. The church is not going to be here holding back the wickedness. And then the seals will be opened up, the trumpets will be sounded, and the vials will be poured out. And the Antichrist will do his best, but his best won't be good enough. Amen. Hallelujah. There's a little bit of interlude here between the sixth trumpet and the seventh trumpet. This tenth chapter talks about the great angel that stands on the sea and on the land. And then, of course, the 11th chapter talks about the two witnesses. But before we get into that seventh trumpet, let's talk about this this angel. You know, what's happening here, let's keep in mind, there's 7 years of tribulation going on from the 6th chapter to the 19th chapter. This is mentioned in Daniel. If we had time, we'd go back and go over all that, but we're going to finish this book of Revelation this week, so I don't have time to go into all that. But if you're making notes, Daniel 9, it talks about Daniel's 70th week, Daniel 9:27. It's in your syllabus if you have that. And there were 6 things that God wanted to accomplish when he dealt with the Jews. 70 weeks of years, 490 years, as it were. And what's going on is God's going to revert back to those last 7 years of that time period. And he is going to finish the transgression. These are 6 things that are listed in Daniel 9:24-27. He's going to finish the transgression. He's going to make an end of sins for the nation of Israel. He's going to make reconciliation for iniquity. He's going to bring in everlasting righteousness. He's going to seal up the vision and prophecy of Daniel, and then he's going to anoint the Most Holy. None of that has happened for the nation of Israel yet. We're living in a day where none of that has happened. Their sins are not finished. They haven't made reconciliation for iniquity. God is dealing with the Jewish nation and really bringing them to repentance. And when they see Jesus as the Messiah, hello, when they accept him as Lord and as Savior, then God will turn that nation around. And it'll take 7 years for it to happen. I believe he's going to send out these 144,000 Jews to evangelize the nation of Israel and tell them Jesus has already come. Our Messiah has already come. See, they're looking for a Messiah. Did you know the Muslim world's looking for a Messiah? They're looking for one of the imams that's supposed to come, really the time period that we're living in. They're looking for someone to come and bring peace to the world and make the whole world Muslim. It's in the Quran, and it was a mysterious imam that disappeared, and they said he would come back, you know, about a 1,000-year period, which is where we are today. I mean, it's interesting that the Jews are looking for a Messiah. The Muslims are looking for a Messiah. Hello. We're looking for deliverance from a Messiah. Amen. But we're looking to be taken out. They're looking for one to establish a kingdom, which he will do that, but he'll do it after we come back and establish a new kingdom. And when we are taken out, God will revert to Jewish time. And he'll deal with the Jews as a nation. And all these things that are happening in Revelation, starting the 6th chapter, all the way to the 19th chapter, are dealing with the nation of Israel as a whole. And he'll bring them to repentance. Now in the 10th chapter, you found that? The mighty angel with the little book. Put that chart up there if you would, Ken. Here it says in this... y'all getting something out of this?
Yes.
It's helping you? You know, you're going to have to go over and over because it's so much information, but this is a kind of primer, as it were. If you have a syllabus, of course, you can go back over those charts. But I challenge you to read the book of Revelation. Just read it over and over and over. Don't read it with fear. Don't go in there confused. Just take it verse by verse. Think about the groups of people that he's talking about. Think about the division of the book that Jesus mentioned in Revelation 1:19. You know, these are things to think about. Think about God's grace and his love to the church, his deliverance. Think about being raptured out and then how he's dealing with these Jewish people. It's not that complicated. We've made it complicated, but this is in our Bible. And the Bible's meant to be understood. In fact, Ephesians 5:17 says, "Be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is."
Amen.
Hallelujah. And then, of course, 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, "I have not seen, ear have not heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love him, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit.
Amen.
For his Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. What man knows the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, save or but by the Spirit of God." Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit that is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God.
Amen.
Which things we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. There's another verse, the next verse, when I love the 14th verse, says, "But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto them. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned or understood." Ooh, I like that. Isn't that good? So we're supposed to know what God wants us, what God has given us here, but we're going to have to open up to His Spirit and pray and read and study and meditate. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, 10th chapter of Revelation. I saw still another mighty angel coming down from heaven, clothed with a cloud. A rainbow was on his head. His face was like the sun. His feet like pillars of fire. Woo! Awesome. To think about this. I couldn't draw all that, but I did my best. See that fire? Don't you wish that was on the side of your car? Come on, you won't. Come on, guys. But he was clothed with a cloud. He had a rainbow around his head. Really, honestly, I believe this is a picture of Jesus. You say, well, I don't think so. Well, that's fine. You don't have to believe that. I just do. I'm just telling what I believe. I'm preaching. You preach next time. You know, I mean, you go get a church. You have your own seminar, and you can tell them what you think. But it seems to me that this is a picture, just a symbolic of Jesus, because there's an indicator here. He's got this book, this seven-sealed book in his right hand. Who has the book? He has a little book in his right hand. Where did that book come from? Well, now the seals have been opened. What other? I mean, if you're the best rule of thumb on interpreting Scripture is to interpret Scripture with Scripture. So if you have a book here that appears out of nowhere, back up a little bit, do a little detective work. Where's a book mentioned? Well, it was mentioned over there in Revelation 6 where he had that seven-sealed book. And it's opened, right? And it says he had a book open in his hand. And what does this symbolize? This rainbow around his head. There's a rainbow around the throne where God sat, symbolizing the covenant. So there's a lot of indicators here, it seems to me. This is just a picture of Jesus holding that book in his right hand, a rainbow around his head, clothed with a cloud, feet like a pillar of fire. He had feet like burnished brass in the first chapter. Now see, the strange thing is he doesn't say it's Jesus. I don't know why, but I think the symbolism speaks for itself. It appears to me that would it be Jesus. You can still go to heaven and not believe that. But it seemed like that's the most logical explanation. Now, I know the Bible says don't think more highly of yourself than you ought to think, but you ought to think. It's okay to think, you know, so don't. I think too many of us, when we come to church, we stop at the door, check our brain out, and we come into church. Bring your brain on in with you. It's okay. And when, you know, when you're going through the Scripture, just think about it. Okay, y'all wake up. Stay with me now. So it says here, we can see him, and he begins to, he has a rainbow around his head. He speaks, and his voice, seven thunders come out. When he cried out, seven thunders uttered their voices, third verse. And when the seven thunders uttered their voices, I was about to write, but I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, seal up the things which the seven thunders uttered, and do not write them. You know what it was? I don't know what it was. He said, seal it up. Now, I tricked you there, didn't I? People want to go write a book on that now. You know, oh, I know what that is. Well, you don't know what it is, and I don't know what it is. He sealed it up. I don't know. Maybe it was part of something he said later. We don't know for sure. But he was about to write, and God said, no, stop. So, goodness gracious, people preach sermons on things like that. You know, here's what that was. You know, and well, you don't know, and I don't know. He sealed it up. The angel whom I saw standing on the sea and on the land raised up his hand to heaven. And he swore by him who lives forever and ever, who created heaven and the earth that are in it, the earth and the things that are in it, the sea and the things that are in it, that there should be delay or time no longer. King James Version says time. But time doesn't stop here. What he means is delay. In other words, what's going to come to pass is going to come to pass now. That's been holding back, but now it's going to come to pass. The delay shall be no longer. And in the days of the sounding of the seventh angel, when he is about to sound. Now, the seventh trumpet hadn't sounded yet. This is not the seventh angel. The seventh trumpet sounds later. But in the days of the sounding of the seventh angel, when he is about to sound, the mystery of God should be finished as he has declared to his servants, the prophets. Now, some people have said, well, the mystery of God, that'd be the church. So this is really the rapture in the middle of the week. I've heard that teaching. There are some people hold to that. But actually, if you just say the mystery of God, it could be any number of things. I mean, even in the New Testament, the Bible talks about the mystery of the kingdom of God, the mystery of the gospel, the mystery of the rapture, the mystery of God's will, the mystery of Christ and the church, the mystery of iniquity, the mystery of faith, the mystery of godliness, the mystery of the seven stars and seven golden candlesticks. Hello? The mystery of Babylon the Great, the Bible talks about. I mean, so there's a lot of mysteries. I think the mystery here is the mystery of iniquity. It's being revealed, or something along the lines of the devil being let loose, the Antichrist coming to power. This mystery is going to be opened up. It doesn't give us specifics on it, and so you're free to speculate. I don't see it's the mystery of God being the church, because he's talked too much about the church prior to this. He's already told us about the church in great detail. They've already been raptured. And if you take this sequentially, this is in between the sixth and the seventh trumpet. This is long after the church. Hello. But there is something been held back during all this time that's going to be released. And the last trumpet's going to be sounded. The Antichrist is going to come to power. We're going to find out about the beast, the false prophet, the great harlot. The mystery of iniquity is going to be revealed at this point. But at any rate, we don't know exactly what it is, and you're sure free to fill in the blanks. But he says this, the eighth verse, "Then the voice which I heard from heaven spoke to me again and said, Go take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel who stands on the sea and on the earth. So I went to the angel and said to him, Give me the little book." And I'm sure he was nice about it. He probably didn't say, "Give me that book." You know, boy, you're looking at that, you'd be crawling. "Give me the little book." And he said to me, "Take and eat it, and it will make your stomach bitter, and it will be as sweet as honey in your mouth." Then I took the little book out of the hand, the angel's hand, and ate it, and it was as sweet as honey to my mouth. But when I had eaten it, my stomach became bitter. And he said to me, "You must prophesy again about many peoples, nations, tongues, and kings." And I believe this is the rest of the book of Revelation. Because he gets in now, he starts getting into kingdoms and nations. I mean, we started in the 12th chapter, 13th chapter, and all the way through to the 19th. You're talking about a lot of nations, the kingdom of the Antichrist, the history of that beast and the false prophet and all that. So this probably is the rest of the prophecy. This is the language of the prophets. Language of Ezekiel and Daniel and Isaiah. You know, they would eat scrolls and eat books and they would prophesy. So now the judgment has come. The seals are opened. The trumpets have been sounded. This book of judgment or book of prophecy is here. And he takes it and he eats it. And he receives it from Jesus. I believe that's Jesus, that angel that he takes it from. Angel just means messenger. Don't be confused about that. And then he begins to prophesy about many things. In fact, the 11th chapter talks about the two witnesses. And I know there's a lot of speculation who that is. I think it's real simple. The two witnesses are two men who have not died, who are going to come to the earth and prophesy, and they're going to be killed. It tells us that. And they'll lay in the streets 3.5 days, and the Spirit of God will enter into them. They'll rise up, and then they'll be taken up into heaven. Another rapture will take place. Now, the only two men in the Bible who have not died that are in heaven are Enoch and Elijah. Now, I'm not trying to spiritualize it. Some people say it's Moses and Elijah, but Moses is dead. Moses has been buried. God buried his body. God told Joshua in Joshua 1, he said, "Moses, my servant, is dead." But Enoch was taken up at 365 years old. Y'all remember that? He was the seventh generation from Adam. He lived 365 years, and the Bible says he walked with God and was not. He was translated. And, of course, Hebrews talks about it and says the same thing about Enoch, that he pleased God and God took him. I often heard people say, "Well, if we please God enough, he'd take us up too." Sure, if you did it for about 365 years, I believe God would take you up. But Enoch had something to do with end time. Because Jude tells us, that this is, I always call this the most ungodly verse in the Bible. Stay with me. Because Jude said, "Enoch prophesied, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment on the ungodly for their ungodly deeds that they have ungodly committed." Now come on, that's got to be the most ungodly verse in the whole Bible. You know that. But the book of Jude tells us that Enoch prophesied, hello, that the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment. So he knew something about prophecy. And he was taken up alive into heaven. And then, of course, we know Elijah was taken up in a whirlwind. And the fiery chariot in a whirlwind was taken up into heaven. And boy, these two witnesses that we'll see, in fact, I'll pick this up tomorrow night, but we'll see in the 11th chapter where they begin to prophesy and they bring plagues and so on upon earth. It looks like Elijah, I'm telling you. And of course, Enoch had that so much to do, you know, with the end times, being a prophet himself and prophesying. And you don't want to be here during that time, and you won't be here during that time. Right now, the job of the church is to witness and just preach the gospel. But see, now the church is not here. So there's a lot of supernatural angelic activity. There's two men coming out of heaven. They're going to prophesy. They're going to make battle against the Antichrist. Antichrist will overcome them. They'll be killed, but only for 3.5 days, and they'll shoot right up in heaven. And I believe the whole world will see them. We're living in a day, in an age where that's possible with satellite TV. And goodness gracious, you just turn on CNN or Fox News or something, you can see what's going on in Israel and as it happens. They're interviewing reporters that are embedded there in these battles and these military excursions and so on and so forth. We're hearing it just as it happens. It's an amazing thing. So a lot of activity going on. And we have never lived in a day that we're living in right now where all these things really in the natural even are starting to become possible as far as seeing it happen, worldwide knowledge of things happening around the world. Did you know that of all the foreign reporters in the world, that there are more foreign correspondents in Israel than any other nation in the world, and it is a little bitty nation. There's not a day goes by you don't hear something about Israel. You know how big Israel is? It's 200 miles long from top to bottom, and at many points east to west, it's less than 10 miles. Between the Gaza Strip and the West Bank, it's 9 miles. The largest place, way down at the bottom, the largest width east to west is 40 miles. It is a very little, small little country. If you've ever been there, you're amazed at how small it is. You know, you have all these ideas about Israel, but every eye is on Israel. Every news station is on Israel. They've got reporters embedded in Israel. Why is that? It's God's land, that's why. And there are some things that are going to come to pass there that are going to be televised all over the world. And we're going to watch it from heaven. Better than a big screen TV. We'll be eating popcorn and watching it. We'll have a big marriage supper that we're going to be celebrating for 7 years and coming back on white horses. Hallelujah. And we're going to miss out on all that. Hallelujah.